Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, and today we are going to finish our conversation on the Common Core standards. Our guests again today are three amazing women who have been involved in education, both as teachers and administrators, for decades. Elizabeth Berg and Cindy Will are both principals, and Deborah Cole is a pioneer in the charter school movement. They have been on a mission to expose the flaws of Common Core, and we are so honored to have them all back with us for another day of broadcasting. Okay, let's jump back into this informative conversation about Common Core right now here on Family Talk.
Dr. Meeker, you're at a real disadvantage here. You got four women here who like to talk. You got a man who gets excited about this subject, and you're out there in Michigan talking remotely, and we haven't even given you a chance to speak. Give us your assessment on what you've heard.
Well, you know, this is very disturbing to me, and I think of my little granddaughter as I'm sitting here who hasn't even started school, and how dramatically different her schooling is going to be. And so I'm already going to write my own homeschool curricula by grandma. But what I would like to do is I will tell you, because of our show, I'm going to be talking to my patients more about this. I'm going to be talking to young mothers about this. And I'm going to say, you need to learn what's going on, because the wool is being pulled over their eyes. This is not a partisan issue.
No.
This is a parent issue. You know, you don't have to be of one political persuasion or the other to be very upset about this, as we see in New York, what's going on with the teachers' unions. So I really want to encourage all of our listeners to take to heart what we've talked about today and what they've heard about today, and to go on our website and look some of these things up, and then let's act, because you're absolutely right. If parents get very vocal and very loud about things, politicians will listen, and we can make some strides here, I'm convinced.
So we should let our representatives, our senators, know how we feel about this. And the politicians that we hear from, whether they're Democrat or Republican, it could be the one, as we have seen. Let them know that this is not acceptable. Keep your hands, your grubby hands, off my kids and my family. We don't send our kids to school to be indoctrinated. We don't send them there to learn political correctness. We don't send them there to know every last detail of their lives. We send them there to be educated. And if you don't want to do that, we'll find somebody else who can do it. I will not send my kid to a school who does that. I don't know. I could get really mad. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you feel that or not. But it is a cause I could really get excited about, it, which means we got to do more programming on it.
More programs.
Meeker.
That's right.
And as you learn new things and as you find out other aspects of Common Core that disturb you, you come running back, okay?
Yes,
please.
We'll keep the dialogue going.
Dr. Dobson, one thing that we've not yet discussed is the amount of time that will be taken in the school year for these tests. This is a whole nother subject, and I know here in Colorado, 168 superintendents out of a total 178 superintendents signed a resolution to pull out of the testing because it is going to radically change the school year. We will lose in instructional continuity and time a quarter to a third of our year.
Have you seen the tests?
We've seen drafts and practice tests, and I'll have to tell you, they're very confusing. All of us here have master's degrees, and we looked at a fourth grade English language arts test. It's split screen, and there's slide bars for each side of the screen. So the test format is very confusing, and that students can get very frustrated if they don't have that level of adeptness at handling multiple screens. we came up to different answers. We both have our degrees with a lot of literature in our background, and Deborah and I came up with different answers on a fourth grade question.
Can I say that the three of us tried the fourth grade social studies, and again, three master's degree, and we're looking at each other going, what in the world are they asking?
And this is the practice test that was put out for
students. How about achievement testing? Is that going to go by the wayside?
They're concerned about process. So you can say that 2 + 2 = 5 and still get it right as long as you do the process right. Accuracy is not part of the achievement right now.
Does it matter
even
that
in math,
2 + 2 = 5?
Right. You will get it right if you have the process right. If you use, let's use double-digit addition. If you can come up with the wrong answer but show the process right, you will get it right.
You know what that produces? Ignorance.
Yes. So here's the good news. Have some good news right now because it does get daunting. There are 16 states, Doctor, that have either withdrawn or in the process of withdrawing from Common Core, from PARC, or...
You said it wasn't legal to do that.
Right. And so they're trying hard. You might have heard about Louisiana. Jindal also tried to do an executive order, and I think he's tied up in a lawsuit as we speak. So there are people who are working hard to not take it sitting down. And so it's called buyer's remorse. Let's remember, they signed on to this before they were even formulated. The standards were not completed.
That's Obamacare.
Yep, the leader signed on, and they didn't know what they were signing, and now they have buyer's remorse, and they're scrambling some. That's only 16. I mean, we still have a large country, but I'm trying to find some good news here.
Well, you're working hard at it. Dr. Meeker?
Boy. Well, that encourages me so much because I think if you can get 16, I mean, we can certainly get more states on board and more teachers and superintendents to really take this to heart. And again, as you were talking about English problems you're having difficulty solving, I went on and tried to solve some, you know, early elementary school math problems.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do a couple of them. And I'm embarrassed to say that.
Right.
But I thought, you know, these young children can't do them. So, you know, again, I think that if parents and other teachers and people who care about the future of children just learn really about what's going on, I think that we can really mobilize an enormous grassroots population of people to take back our schools.
That is so true. But people can't wait because the tests are rolling out this year.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is the first year of the whole slate of these new tests. And so we as administrators, as I said before, we cannot know what's on these tests.
Nope.
But the wheels are in motion for change. Parents have to take the opportunity now to vote, to gather with others who agree with them, to make sure their voice is heard before their voice will actually be taken away.
Here's something that concerns me. Two of the three of you are principals of charter schools. We think of charter schools as the oasis. This is where you send your kid when you're serious about education.
Yeah.
This is one of the answers to the inner city disaster known as American education. And yet you're under attack. Your schools are under attack.
Yes.
And that whole approach to education is under attack, which is really kind of a fact-based educational curriculum, right?
Yeah.
It's not how do you feel about 2 + 2?
No.
Or what process did you use to come up with the wrong answer?
Right.
Or what color does 2 + 2 make you think of?
Oh, well, that's a great one. I could go to sleep thinking about that at night.
Well, you're right, and it wipes out our distinctives. Charter schools are charged to be incubators of innovation, that we can do more with less money, and we've shown that happens at high levels of success. But this wipes us out. We no longer will have options. We all will look the same. It's a one-size-fits-all education system that's never been America.
We have to divert a lot of resources to purchasing the equipment, to hiring more people to manage the technology component. But the time out of the classroom teaching, we lose, as I said, about a fourth to a third of the year in order to administer these tests. So if parents love their school, they need to know that it will not be the same school because we cannot teach as much when so much of our time needs to be allocated toward the tests.
You know, I was an educator before I went to a medical school and taught there for 14 years, and yet I still care about schools. And I want to tell you, at this stage of my life, I look back, and there was nothing I enjoyed more than teaching those kids. Mm. I loved them. I missed them on the weekend. Aww. Education means a lot to me because children mean a lot to me. And the thought of the federal government coming in and taking a third of my time to ask intrusive questions that will come to no good on behalf of those kids, it angers me. Well, it really does. Yes.
We appreciate your transparency and passion because we share it with you. We were recently reminded, and I'd love to just say that, remember the one-room schoolhouse, how far our country came with that. We had no central planners telling us how to teach children. And we were reminded that it wasn't that long ago we put, was it the Apollo, was successful. And they used the technology that we all walk around with in our telephone right now. The math requirements that we have now through Common Core will be a week. I'm being generous by saying week.
W-E-A-K.
E-A-K. It's a week, Algebra 2. By the end of high school, there is no preparation for a STEM school or a selective college. Where are we going to get our architects? Where are we going to get our doctors? Where are we going to get our nurses?
Engineers.
Where are we going to get our engineers?
Right.
We're going to have to import them from other countries. We will not be preparing our population for the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and the mathematic, you know, degrees and majors through this approach.
And they don't understand history at all.
Yeah.
One of the things that concerns me, too, is that whenever you have the government coming in and telling teachers, in essence, you don't really know how to do this right, so we have to show you. We have to write the curriculum. You don't have anything to say about that. Over time, you're going to lose the best and the brightest teachers. But my concern with education is that the same thing is going to happen there as I'm already seeing in medicine with Obamacare. And that is whenever the government comes between a teacher and a student, or as in my case, between a physician and a patient, the professional becomes very discouraged because they're no longer in control of what they're doing. The government just gums up our work. And I believe that the best and brightest teachers who would like to go into education are going to choose other professions over education because they're going to be far too discouraged. And if that happens, my fear is that education across America will continue to deteriorate.
It's already begun. There's already an exodus of seasoned veteran teachers who have said, I will not put up with this.
I'm
out of here.
This touches on the myth of rigor that the promoters of Common Core standards have sold them as being rigorous, as internationally benchmarked and research-based, that they're not. They're not rigorous, and that even some of the writers have said that the math standards have been highly criticized by Dr. James Milgram, who is professor emeritus of mathematics at Stanford University, and he refused to sign off on the validation committee for the standards. He was asked to be a part of the validation committee, and when he went through them, he was horrified, and he refused to sign off them, and he's become one of the main voices criticizing the rigor of the math standards. And he was the chief mathematician for the Apollo Space Project. Mm-hmm. And he says that these math standards require a partial knowledge of Algebra 1 and geometry. So it's not even a solid Algebra 2 level of knowledge that is expected, but that it's going to be a partial knowledge of Algebra 1 and geometry.
It's the dumbing down
of the
culture.
Dumbing down.
And, you know, the writers of the standards will be candid occasionally and say, yes, when we say college and career ready, what we really mean is minimally ready or for a college of minimal quality. They begin to hedge some of the slick marketing about rigor and internationally competitive and being ready for careers and so on and so forth. You don't have to dig too far to realize that, no, the spirit that informs this material is not one of excellence, but rather one of leveling, because one of the big objectives here is social equity, the so-called achievement gap between the haves and the have-nots. And this stubbornly has remained in place over a long period of time. So one of the objectives of Common Core and the assessments and the curricula is to close the achievement gap. Well, you know, there are two ways of doing that. You can bring the low people up, or you can bring the top people down.
See, I think that's the key to the whole thing, right there.
It is.
You've really nailed it, because at its foundation, it is anti-elitism.
Yes.
Anybody who rises in the culture, either economically, intellectually, whatever it is a threat to everybody else. That's inequitable. We've got to make everybody reach a low common denominator. That's what they're trying to do here with children. That is beyond belief that we would sit here and Governor Jeb Bush would support such an initiative.
Yes, it is a leveling impulse for the vast mass of ordinary Americans. But the elite will still remain where they are.
They'll just be fewer of them, that's all.
They are the ones who dictate these policies.
Yeah. So here's the two goals of what we're talking about, Dr. Dobson. The first one is the U.S. is to become number one in the world in the percentage of the population with a college degree by 2020. Stated goal. The second goal is what Deborah has just said, and that is that to significantly reduce the gaps between low-income and minority students and their peers in high school graduation and college access and success by 2020. The purpose of Common Core are to train people in a minimal skill to work in a technical workplace.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's it.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking directly to you. If what you've heard in these days of discussion of Common Core alarms you, if you're opposed to it, if you want your children protected from it, if you want the schools to do the job that we pay them to do, you better get out and let your voices be heard, because there's not much time. Your governor needs to know how you feel about this. Your representative, your state offices of government, your United States senator, they all need to know. The newspaper needs to be informed. And we should flood offices of those who are trying to take us in this direction. The Department of Education is anathema to progress and success and learning. It just is. You know, it was created by Richard Nixon. Again, this is not a Democrat and Republican thing. No. This is a drift of a culture toward oblivion. Mm-hmm. This is a step away from everything, or a giant leap away from everything our founding fathers intended. All right, I'm going to go past the three of you here. I'm going to ask you first, Elizabeth, to give us your final shot. I just gave you mine. Let me hear yours.
Well, I know that parents are in a lot of conflict at my school because they love the school. They love what the benefits that their children have received there at the school. And they're in a dilemma because they are not sure what their other options are. And they're hearing about districts that are even threatening parents that if you refuse to take the test, then you can't re-enroll. So they're hearing strong-arm tactics being voiced across our state here.
What is the racial makeup of your school?
Well, last year we were 57% minority. And so
how exciting that is.
And and our students are competing with the top schools in our area. And there's some very high-performing schools in our area. And so
you must really feel good about that.
I am so proud of our students and our teachers, and we don't work with process. We work with learning skills and learning them.
Two and two is still four.
We teach. We do math facts. We do cursive, like Cindy has instructed our teachers in. Even our students from different language backgrounds have really shown amazing growth and actually achievement. And so our parents greatly appreciate that, but they're concerned. How is our school going to change with these new requirements? They don't want their child's data being fed into some machine. What can they do? And we have to just say we are a public school and we have to administer these tests.
Okay, Cindy, your last shot.
Okay.
And then Deborah will come let you have the last word.
Thank you. Good. Well, I can't do better than Abraham Lincoln. And so I would like us just to be reminded in this day of some relativism about someone who was a real compass for our nation when we were hurting and in trouble. And Dr. Stotsky was, like Dr. Milgram, someone who worked hard to work on a validation committee for these standards. She reminds us, as Abraham Lincoln fought really hard, to remind us that self-government is a concept that needs to endure. And that as self-government, it's a great idea for our nation. We need to keep that going. And we will not be capable of making our own decisions if we have central planners who are doing that. We do not need a monarch. We do not need a dictator. Mm-hmm. We do not need central planners. We can do a lot with even a one-room schoolhouse, but those days, I'm afraid, are slipping away. And I want to remind us, we are a self-government nation. That's what made us so great.
Okay, Deborah, your turn.
All right. Well, my two colleagues, of course, are in a position where they are under the direct assault of this regime because they lead schools. Mm-hmm. As a consultant, I don't have that kind of pressure. So I can sort of speak more globally. I would say I would throw down the gauntlet to the American parents listening to these broadcasts, and I would say, now is the time for you to demonstrate all of those character qualities that built this country, made it great, made it unique. We have a looming cloud getting closer and closer to us of tyranny, and I don't think that the word is too strong. Now is the time to show, as Americans, your courage, your ingenuity, your stick-to-itiveness, your perseverance in pushing back against this machine and overthrowing it and declaring liberty.
Mm-hmm. I said you heard my last shot. I'm going to give you another one. What you said triggered something within me. And what you said, Cindy, is that liberty and freedom and greatness are not the natural course of mankind. Most countries have not achieved that. We have done it through individual initiative and teaching of children and informing them and watching them grow. It has not been a state-controlled society. Our founding fathers were afraid of that. That's why they limited government. That's why the Constitution has much to say about what government can't do. It was not talking about what individuals are free to do. It had to do with limiting government because it stifles creativity and growth. And what this is aimed at is that very concept. My goodness, I could talk a lot. I've talked too much. Dr. Meeker, I want to hear from you as we go off.
You know, I just concur with what everyone has said, and I just personally feel so grateful for these three lovely guests who have really taught us a lot. They've taught me a lot about what is going on and, you know, with Common Core. And in an age where the government even wants to celebrate diversity, what are we doing but the exact opposite? We're going towards uniformity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. I've enjoyed talking to you. I've learned a lot. Frankly, I came into these programs not knowing a lot about Common Core. I've been concerned about it because of things I've read, but I understand it a lot better. You all helped to make that happen. Come back when there's something new.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
And Dr. Meeker, I hope that something new is Common Core has collapsed and gone away.
Exactly.
And is no longer
a
threat.
Exactly.
And so thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, what a challenging conversation about what's really at stake in the new Common Core Standards for Education. If you would like updates about this educational movement, please visit our website at drjamesdobson.org. You can also call us at 877-732-6825. Families face tough choices about so many things in the culture today, but you can help us provide useful tools and resources to strengthen families every day. Every dollar you give supports that vital mission, and right now, your donation can go twice as far. Visit us online to give a gift at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825 to learn more. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.